Testing. We're on the record. Good morning, Mr. Taylor. For the record, I will record the fact that the panel of Gail Wheeler and Ferrari are starting what is effectively day four of the appeal by Mr. Taylor in, file number 02-0127, and this fourth day is being conducted in Toronto at the tribunal offices on July 5, 2007. And Mr. Taylor, when we left off yesterday, we had spent some time discussing what appeared to be the final substantive issue or pair of issues under the ARO decision of October 18, 2005, which is to say your objection to the denial by the board of a reassessment of your non-economic loss or NEL benefits, and your objection to the board's denial of benefits for a chronic pain disability or CPD. And our conversation last night had to do with the fact that CPD benefits for a non-organic form of disability take over and in effect displace the NEL benefits for organic pain issues, and that as opposed to your belief, which you recorded, you were not, at the end of the day, if we granted you CPD benefits, you are not entitled to wait until the board has assessed those and then decide which one you want, because the one would displace the other. Mm-hmm. And there is a downside risk. I have no ability to judge the amount of risk involved. Your NEL benefits of 14% are not large, but we don't do that here. It's up to the board, and we just can't say whether there's a risk or not. We just have to make sure you understand the situation. I believe you indicated yesterday afternoon that you did. Mm-hmm. We left it that you were going to consider that discussion and advise the panel this morning on your position in respect of those last two items.
First, I found the page that was missing in the medical reports.
All right, that's Exhibit 18.
Yes.
Where did you find that?
Oh, it was on the computer. So for some reason it didn't get... It's in there as well, but maybe it wasn't printed out right when I printed it downstairs. Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
So this will be, let's see this, I'll make it Exhibit 19 just to be clear, but it's page 31A of Exhibit 18, in the sense that that's where it fits, correct?
I believe so.
So Exhibit 19 will be identified as page 31A of the material supplied in Exhibit 18, which is to say the handwritten clinical notes prepared by Dr. Sauls and provided to you as an enclosure to his letter of August 10, 2005. Let me just complete the exhibit. So, in fact, Mr. Taylor, from Exhibit 19, it appears that the first two paragraphs, which were missing from this page, refer not to any attendance by you on the doctor, but to his conversation with Mr. Riviere at the board, correct?
That's correct.
And he spoke with Mr. Riviere, as indicated on the next page, on April 27, 2005. And I'm just looking, it says appeal of vocational goals which were determined by retraining. is item number one. There was a reference to a NEL assessment a year and a half ago. That was the old three. That doesn't really ring true, does it? No. The NEL assessment was quite a lot earlier, based on two assessments. And then three, we've already seen his only avenue, and that's you and Dr. Salzen. Mr. Riviera, presumably referring to you, Mr. Taylor, is to prove that he's had a worsening. Mm-hmm. And there's a note below, I will have Paul in to discuss. So he was proposing to discuss this with you. And the next entry is 2 months later, well, a month and a half later, in June, he spoke with you and that you told him you were still living in Shelburne. And he is having an assessment by a specialist.
That would have been Dr. Singh's report.
In 05?
I believe it was, yes.
All right, now, the other thing that we were after, and maybe that wasn't on your computer, and I take it you've been staying here in town, is
yes.
A letter from Dr.
The one that's referenced in when was it? I believe it was December 04. Yeah.
But we have your...
I was thinking about it last night. I think the reason why it wasn't submitted was it was submitted through the doctor, through the lawyer, sorry.
Okay. I just have a general question regarding the clinical notes. Do we now have the complete set of clinical notes?
To my understanding, that's what
this
I have.
This is everything.
Yes.
Well, back in what appears to be January of 2005, 4 months earlier, at the top of Exhibit 19, it indicates that your name is at the top, and that Dr. Saul's writing is here today, meaning you're at the doctor's office, because he wants to submit a claim that would support an increase in his NEL with WSIB. He brought copies of multiple WSIB policies as well as copies of various reports related to his case. As with most notes, I'm not sure, it is not easy to understand what his
interaction
with WSIB has been most recently. I agreed to speak to his adjudicator, Mr. Riviere. I'll need some specific direction before proceeding with any assessment. And then 4 months later, he did speak with Mr. Riviere in the terms I've already noted in April of 05. So this is all after Dr. Sauls wrote the letter that you described in evidence yesterday but have not been able to produce, and which you now say may have gone to the board through your lawyer.
Right.
But the letter, in essence, bottom line, said there has been no deterioration in your condition.
I believe so. It was just, it wasn't in reference to the NAL assessment. It was just a report.
Well, I understand.
My
as
okay.
Ms. Ferrari said yesterday, that the assessment itself, the formal assessment, is done by a board-qualified NEL assessor. But the page 31 of Exhibit 18, which is the previous November, and the page before the one that's now Exhibit 19, is the one which says back symptoms unchanged. And you recall that he wrote a letter through the lawyer about this time at the end of 04 or early 05 that you have not produced. It's not in the record, but it confirmed his opinion that your condition was unchanged.
Correct.
Okay. I'll just make a note of that.
But I mean, with that, there's unfortunately, there's no point in pursuing the reassessment any further. Because with the medical information with this, as well as the others, there's nothing to indicate a worsening.
Well, you started the appeal advocating that you should have a reassessment, and that would only be possible, and you would only be considered for an increase. You know, if you had probative and persuasive evidence of significant deterioration, and this falls far short of that.
That's my point.
So we're not going to deal with reassessment of L at this point in this hearing.
Okay.
Is that your that's your position?
Yes.
So you're withdrawing that issue?
Yes. To make it clear. To make it clear, yes.
All right. That leaves us then with the thing I started with before we found that you had been able to provide us with a year of 19. Which is item number 3 under the ARO decision of October 1805, objection to denial of benefits for CPD. And understand that it is not a situation where after finding that you've been granted any benefits, and of course we're not here stating that you would be after our review and the decision we have ahead of us, but if you were, you indicated your belief that once that CPD benefit was assessed, you could determine whether you wanted it or the NEL assessment to stay in place, and I think you understood my very clear explanation with the help of my colleagues that that isn't the case and that the CPD would overtake the NEL and you would only profit from that award if it were granted if the CPD assessment were above the 14%. Given what we discussed yesterday, what do you now intend to do in respect of your appeal concerning CPD benefits?
It won't be pursuing that matter.
Now, to use my colleagues' helpful and effective term. I take it, sir, you're telling this panel today that you're withdrawing your
correct.
Claim.
Correct. I am withdrawing the third issue, October 18, 2005.
All right. And I said it more than once, but please understand that although that risk is there and you've decided not to pursue it, you mustn't assume that you were going to necessarily succeed in getting an award of CPD based on the evidence. We haven't heard your evidence of that. You know, it's just that if you were to pursue it here, I think you're wise not to. We don't know what the outcome will be, either here or at the board. So, it's withdrawn, and that leaves us with what? There is another bold section here.
That was just the, if I may, sorry.
Yeah?
That was just the reconsideration, I believe it was. And the medical restrictions, which refers back to the 2004 issue, and we had already dealt with it.
Number 5.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think we're now at a point, I hope you agree and you can tell us this, that we have dealt with all the evidence that is going to be tendered to the panel in respect of all the issues identified in Exhibit 1. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. what next, sir? Do you want to make some submissions? We've had some along the way, as you proposed. I don't want to anticipate what you plan to do. What was your intention now?
I think I've covered the most important facts in the file.
Well, it's your appeal. You've given us a great deal to think about. We've spent, we're now on day four of this appeal.
That's right.
Do you, and as I recall, because we spoke about this yesterday and before, you sort of combined your own fact evidence with submissions. And that's not a complaint. That is helpful. But do you want now to make any further submissions or argument about your position differently or in addition to what you've already put before the panel so far?
I think my only concern was on the issue of benefits. I'm just trying to just bear with me. In the notes. There we go. I've reviewed the cases, and everything's pretty much straightforward. The most important was the medical submissions, as you mentioned, for evidence.
Well, and on that point of the medical evidence, one thing that you haven't done is you didn't take us through any of the clinical notes that you've got with respect to your neck and thoracic spine.
Sorry, I just kind of smiled because they gave entitlement to that, but I'm confused because it seemed in the way the board handled the injury, they flip-flopped through the whole process.
Let me reiterate, because it's the ARO that's the final decision of the board.
Sure.
And according to the ARO decision on that issue, it was indicated in the decision that the mid-back, you had been given initial entitlement for the mid-back, but there was no ongoing permanent impairment?
That's correct, according to.
Okay, so that's what the decision said. And then for some reason, the upper thoracic spine was separated. So she said that there was no initial entitlement for the upper back and the neck.
That was mentioned by the adjudicator in the NEL referral as entitlement to the upper back, but no PI, when she made the referral to the NEL doctor. So it's puzzling to me to argue when, I'm not sure what I'm arguing about, to be honest, because whether it's the mid-back or the upper back.
There's no permanent impairment in either one, so
right.
It's all part, as we discussed yesterday,
mm-hmm.
The thoracic spine, there's the upper. I mean, the middle part, the thoracic spine covers quite a large area.
Well, yeah, that's the middle.
You know, above the lumbar spine, right up until your neck, is your mm-hmm. thoracic spine.
Because there's a mixture, even reading the doctor's notes, the injury starts on page 9, and even he refers to back and neck and head. And on page 9 there, right underneath, on February 10th,
mm-hmm.
Mentions the thoracic spine rotation.
Lumbosacral/thoracic.
So for initial entitlement for the upper back, I mean, I can just questions, refer to his the physician's first report on page 281 mentions pain at the thoracic spine and says diagnosis of the back, which to me would mean specifically the whole back, as later he mentions in his reports the lower back. So he's specific to say the entire region. Also, starting off, so to speak, and then he goes on to mention the tenderness and the soft tissue injury specifically, and then mentions the medication. He just mentions then 3 days later, back and neck, still painful, unable to sit for long due to the back pain.
Where are you now, sir?
On page 10 of exhibit 17.
Which back and neck, that's at the top.
Yeah, 213-97. And then on March 19th, which is at the bottom of page 10, he mentions, and this might provide some explanation as to why he's reporting lower back. And on March 19th, he says, after returning to work driving the month, I worked pain in his back and neck, increased pain in the lower back region, and then provides other strain. Unable to sit for more than 20 minutes after a continued physio reassess in 1 week.
But he says LS strain. It's lumbar or sacral, which is the lower back.
That's right. So he's being specific in the way of, I come to him and say, he says to me, well, how's your injury? Well, it's really bad in my lower back. That's what's causing me the most pain. The greatest amount of pain.
So I take it your basic position is that what the doctor put on the Form 8 and may have reflected in later reports about back strain and contusion failed with particular reference to make any to make the board aware of any problem with pain in your neck.
Yes.
And even though you've reported that pain to your doctor in February and March of 97.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's confirmed also by a separate medical source and accepted by the panel and the board was the physical discharge report on page 274 of case record volume 1. And it, although it's hard to read, it does mention the thoracic mobility and it mentions the mid-back, and that's why the mid-back, I believe, was accepted as an entitlement injury. So it confirms that there's ongoing areas other than the lower back as well.
And it's equally clear, given that this was marked as an exhibit yesterday, that in no event has anyone on the board ever seen Dr. Saul's clinical notes.
No, not to my knowledge. See, then where we mentioned, just bear with me for a second about the neck issue. Then on 243 or 244, moving into the reoccurrence issue, which would be in his notes on page 12.
I want to stop you though, go back to page 11.
Sure.
I just want to be sure I'm right, or the two, the Levi may be correct. In the end of March 97, he starts that entry at the top of page 11, back and neck still painful, low back tender and pain, soft tissue injury. Then in April, back and neck injury, I think it says improving.
Correct.
And again, at the end of April, range of motion, ROM, improving. So there have been improvements.
There was, because initially, if you recall, in March, there was 1 week of a return to work. And he mentions that if you flip... maybe he mentions it. Yeah, on page 10, on 319, after RTW driving, return to work, no modified duties. Pain in his back and neck organ. So there was an attempted return to work in March. I think it was March 10th, I believe it was noted. And then after a week, back to the doctor and then back off work again, return to physiotherapy. So in April, there was this was the initial injury, and there was a slow recovery. Then returned to modified, then returned to regular work. Then in August 20th was the reoccurrence.
Mr. Taylor, back on page 11, bottom of that middle entry, it says RTW returned to work modified duties April the 14th.
Correct.
Now, you testified at length about what you were doing that spring. These are the duties that didn't involve lifting and unloading and loading?
Specifically, yes.
Yeah. And then he makes that final note on page 11 at the end of April. And I take it it's your understanding that you did not consult with Dr. Sauls in respect of your injuries until the end of August. That's his next entry.
Yes. Yeah, I believe that's correct.
You don't believe there's anything missing, as there was in respect of Exhibit 19 at the end of these
no.
notes. So the next entry is at the top of page
12. It was the end of
and
April.
And this is the recurrence.
That's correct.
It doesn't refer to any new incident, does it?
No.
It says
to my understanding as the worker, when I filed this and talked to the adjudicator, a recurrence was the same injury, but you returned back to work. So maybe something's gone wrong that way.
No, a recurrence is not an accident. It's just a gradual increase in your symptoms while you're working.
Right. I know there was two phrases, recurrence and aggravation. And I just left it up to the adjudicator, which way I just explained to him that my back and neck is still bothering me, and then he sent the appropriate paper.
Did you still have modified duty at this point? I can't recall.
In August of 97, no. I'd sent the letter to the employer, and they said that as far as they were concerned, I was fully recovered. It wasn't until the following year that, with the appeal, that they then provided that so-called modified work. Like the employer never had modified work until January 1st, 98, when the WSIB kicked in. And that was confirmed in their employer-reported injury.
That's okay. I have it all documented. I just,
sure.
As a general, I couldn't recall offhand. So you're just doing your regular job.
But you weren't loading and unloading, sorry.
After August 97, no, there was no work.
You didn't work?
No.
Oh.
No, I was off by the doctor's orders. Was the doctor notes in the file.
Well, it says off work.
Yeah, like on page 271, that's in September of 97. Paul is improving but is not ready to return to work.
That's page 271?
271 of the case record.
Yeah, but in page 12 of Exhibit 18, there's a note at the 30th of August, off work.
Oh, okay.
Right?
That goes with that,
yeah.
Yes. Because I would go and see him, he would examine me, and then if I was to be off work, he would give me a note and it's provided to the employer. So, I mean, after reviewing the clinical notes, it shows the back and neck from his notes. I mean, it's not detailed and specific, but there shows issues for the neck as well.
Can you not for the neck?
Initially.
And then
but then, if you go on, I'm just trying to find.
Well, after your recurrence, it's mentioned again.
Bottom of page 12, well, top and bottom, it says tender, back, and neck. And at the bottom in September, back and neck still painful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sent to physio. And you keep going, it mentioned again on page, I just keep moving, but
mm-hmm.
page 14 has references to back and neck.
I think you'll find
15.
So you go right up to 00, but I mean you're on the same neck, but when I go through.
98.
See, on page 18, he mentions on 8:27 back and neck pain, injury to his lower back, and modified duties. Lower back tender wrong. But this goes with page 243, 244 about him reporting the neck injury.
No, that's the recurrence, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a year later.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, it's a year later.
Well, right now, we're not really trying to match it up with the file.
Confirming what you're saying.
What we're looking at is your request for initial entitlement and the permanent impairment for your neck
mm-hmm.
and upper back. So we're trying to follow through the clinical notes to determine if there's continuity of complaint to the doctor and treatment.
So, Mr. Wheeler mentioned 2000?
Yeah, page 26, I think that okay. The next seems to stop, but please. On page 25, October 4th, 99, back / neck tender and stiff. Page 25. Neck is mentioned up to page 25. From what I can see. And then he gives some ranges of motion on your back.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's giving you Tylenol 3s. Was that the medication that you were on over those years?
Well, there's a variance of Tylenol 3, and then on page 25 it says codeine, 50 milligrams. I went to 50 milligrams codeine per pill, and that was taken 2 to 4 times a day.
And that was Condon, right?
Yeah.
Oxycontin. And when did you stop taking Oxycontin?
That was during, if I remember, it was during the modified program. I think it was in 99, and then several months after that, I stopped taking and switched back to the Tylenol 3 because it was causing stomach problems.
Sure. So
actually, he's got Tylenol 3 at the bottom,
right.
But I had both, and I tried to.
So is Tylenol 3 the drug that you seem to be on?
Now I'm on Tylenol 3 with Celebrex and Nexium, and I was on. I actually wrote out exactly what I've been on.
Okay, maybe the clinical notes will help us with that, so we don't.
Because there's different. But I was on Arthrotec as well.
Right.
Some other ones. That was with Dr. Modi and Dr.
Right, but that was some years later.
Yes.
Yeah. We're just.
But initially, it was Tylenol 3 and codeine to 50 milligrams.
I guess my question in looking at these notes, and you're telling us that you went to see the doctor in October of 2000, okay? And
page 26?
Page 26.
Okay.
All right. maybe I can ask you, what role was your doctor playing for you in this WSIB and yourself in the claim? What, were you looking to him for advice and guidance, or what?
Well, there was considerable discussion because, I mean, when I first got hurt, in the recovery process, it was the physiotherapy. I found that I was improving greatly, which it's noted I was improving. And in my mind, it was the physio that was helping. And after that, aside from my own payment of physiotherapy, there was not much improvement. And this was the discussions. Because I'd go to the board and they would say, no, we're not paying any benefits. Because there wasn't any supporting medical documentation. So then back to the doctor to talk to him about what he could provide for to support my claim.
Okay, so...
Because most of it was just around trying to get the physiotherapy, to get treatment.
Right.
I mean, I know he mentions the benefits, but even there was mention there from the referral to the specialist.
Well, let's stick to October 6th, 00. I don't want to move off.
No problem.
We've got your doctor writing, Paul states he did not receive, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, on page 26. Paul states did not receive full benefits in the past because he didn't document an adequate job search. He states that this was because he was unable to ride on the bus. In addition, he states that he is not sure he will be able to attend retraining course because it will require prolonged bus ride. He states that the vibration of bus ride results in leg and arm weakness, that his right leg gave out, and that his arms are weak. Right? Weak? Is that? Yeah, weak.
I think so.
And P, which I guess was his prognosis or what he's going to do for you, I told Paul that I would write the WSIB to document his concerns as expressed. And he put CT question mark, MRI to document anatomy of lower sacral and thoracic spine, or lumbar sacral, whatever, lower sacral. What was that? He didn't examine you at that time, or can you recall? Was it just he was writing the notes that you expressed your concern?
We were talking about the what was going on with the arm and leg weakness. He had some concern about it, and then we discussed about a CT or an MRI scan. But nothing became of that.
Why did nothing become of that?
I don't know.
Did you follow up with him?
I asked him about it, but he said there was... he just didn't see any relevance in ordering an MRI because he said nothing was seen on the x-rays.
And again, this was for a year back?
I assume, yeah.
What happened to your neck?
What do you mean?
Well, there's nothing mentioned about your neck. What was the condition of your neck at that time?
Well, he had x-rays of the neck in after that when I talked to him because I went back and got x-rays for Dr. Silva in, I think he mentions a referral.
The mention of the neck on the next page in 01?
Yeah. So it was in 01. I just can't remember when I went to see Dr. Silva. I believe it was 2001. That's when I had an x-ray of the neck, and I believe it was the neck and the lower spine. And he said, when I had those x-rays and seen the doctor, he said there was no point in having an MRI done.
There's a reference to seeing Dr. Silva at the bottom of that page, 27.
Yes.
Just for my colleague's benefit and yours, Mr. Taylor, I can tell you that the letter that's referred to in prospect at page 26 that Mr. Wheeler's just read about is at page 236 of the case record. And Dr. Silva's report to Dr. Sauls is at page 310. And that was in June of 01. And the concern I have, which I guess is part of Mr. Wheeler's question, certainly there's nothing in the letter at page 236, which is the November 4, 2000 letter contemplated by this clinical note, nothing about the range of injury at all. He does refer to your description of pain along with leg and arm weakness as a result of the use of public transport over a distance. And certainly, he says, some degree of pain might occur with vibration and jarring, but the leg and arm weakness is difficult to explain on a physiological basis. A comment that echoes perhaps Dr. Holtby at the O&A in some respect. But whatever his notes say, and Ms. Ferrari is right, in May of 01, there's a reference again that sort of seems to be echoed throughout these reports. Top page 27, arms, leg, back, and neck.
I guess if I may, Mr. Vice Chair. Mr. Taylor, you're October 00, mm-hmm. October 2000, you're with your family doctor, Dr. Stahl.
I think that was mainly just in discussion. It wasn't specifically. I mean, he would do a quick exam.
Let me finish my question.
Oh, sorry.
October 6, 00. Now, the next notation in the clinical notes indicates May 8 of 01. So you go 7 months without seeing your family doctor, mm-hmm. when you had concerns. Is that correct?
You were involved in LMR at this point?
Yes.
Right. Did you not see your family doctor from October 00 until May of 01?
It was getting to the point that even if I seen Dr. Sahls or even in the service provider reports throughout, when I raised issue or did something, nothing was being done. He would just give me the Tylenol 3 and that's it, to an exam. It was, I was seeking the physiotherapy or some treatment, but there was no treatment available.
Right, so did you see Dr. Saul between...
No.
You did
no,
not see
there
him?
Was no... He said there was... Unless something gets worse or changes anymore.
Okay. So I
like, it's like... You know what I mean? Like, you've got the same... There's no change in what you're saying and what's happening to you.
Okay. Then let's go back one page to 25. Mm-hmm. Doctor, is that May of 2000, the date of visit? See that last entry? Is that May of 2000? Would you agree that's May of 2000?
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay, May of 2000. Dr. Saul prescribed for you Tylenol 3, and he gave you 100 of them in May of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We go 1 year later, and in this note about using Tylenol 3, because you told us, you testified you've had pain, you also told him Tylenol 3 you only use occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're in this computer course funded by the board in May of 2001. That's what Dr. Saul has indicated here. So, is that, you know, were you not using Tylenol 3? Was your pain?
It depends on, because there was, you take the course, or there's breaks in that time frame. Like, it wasn't just right into Trios and you're done. There was the career place. But when I was going to Trios, I was regularly taking the pills. But, I mean, I remember, too, trying to avoid taking them because you're studying your courses. You've got to keep your wits about you as well. Because I was having problems studying with taking the medication. So, I mean...
Okay, so...
It's hard for me to recall back exactly what I did as far as taking the pills specifically. Because I don't remember each week or month of how much I took in pills.
Right, but I'm just knowing what prescriptions you were given by Dr. Saul.
In general. Like, there's dates and times I can say that I didn't see him write anything in his book when I visited him.
And would he renew your prescription at that time?
Yeah. And there was times when he'd give me a prescription, it would have repeats.
Oh, okay. So are you saying that, like, Dr. Saul would... Let me give you this question.
Sure. Yeah.
Are you testifying that Dr. Saul would give you a prescription on a visit and you didn't see him making any clinical notes when he gave you a prescription?
Yeah. But he would give me on the prescription as well as repeats. Like on my current prescription I have with Dr. Modi, I have 4 repeats.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, just don't come see me for the prescription, just call it in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never did that with Dr. Saul, I'd go in and see him.
You had to go in and see Dr. Saul to get your prescription?
No, I would go in and see him. I don't recall if that was a
mm-hmm.
rule that he had or if it was just something that I always did anyway.
Well, Mr. Taylor, I don't want to interrupt Mr. Wheeler's questions, but for myself at least, I think we've covered a lot of these notes and we have them now part of the record, and we can, I assume you understand and have testified in the course of submitting them. These were provided to you on the basis that these are the handwritten notes of your family physician made on the dates indicated in these pages in respect of attendances by you or other activities by him, such as the call to Mr. Riviera, in respect of the treatment he offered or the prescriptions he provided following your injury in February of
97. That's correct.
All right. And whatever they speak for, that's what they are.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
There's one other area I wanted to explore before, and we're supposed to be in submissions, and this is more a matter of testimony, but I've looked at all of these job search materials that relate to the period during which you're seeking an increase from 50 to 100% subject to the 90% issue of your fellow award. Did you ever register with any job placement agency or search agency?
Oh, yes.
And
I'm registered with Brain Hunter, Job Shark, Workopolis, Monster, all the headhunters.
Yeah.
I think all those headhunters.
Career Foundation?
Career
Foundation?
I'm not familiar with that one, but HRDC, I'm on and registered with
this
them.
This is an NGO that offers free employment opportunity advice. www.careerfoundation.com. Because I think the panel shares a concern, it's certainly mine, but you know, you need to get back to work.
Well,
that not your wish?
Well, in some testimony that was going to come before the panel was, I was exploring, that was one of the options, was the business side of things, and that's regardless of how the decision comes out, that's where I'm heading to. Because
this is your own business, did you say? Or are you?
That's what I'm trying to set up and trying to do. I'm got a meeting next week with Canada Business Bank or something. The Development Business Bank of Canada.
Yes.
To look at starting up a business and getting grants for impaired persons.
What kind of business?
Not really sure yet. I just want to find out if I can get the money and then I can explore. Because, I mean, if I was able to get a lot of money, then I can look at a business that would be sustainable, like Tim Hortons or something. I mean, I've looked at Tim Hortons. I've been to many franchise shows and looked. I've contacted Mary Brown's Country Style Donuts and looked at different avenues.
Have you ever sought disability benefits from HRDC through Canada Pension Plan benefits?
I looked at that initially, but it said that you had to have been working within 2 years of filing or something like that, and that's why I didn't at the time.
Well, I mean, there were periods when you could have done it within 2 years.
Yeah, like I didn't know it at that time, and then by the time I got it, it was too late, I think. But I mean,
I just wondered if you had registered and you answered that question. His Ferrari got us going quite properly on these clinical notes which he tendered, including today's exhibit. my note is that we're into submissions. Have you got other things that you haven't already put to the panel in connection with these various matters that we've been dealing with?
No.
Any questions from the panel? And are we going to terminate the hearing now, sir? Is that your expectation?
Yes.
Can we have a quick caucus? Do you mind?
No, that's a good idea.
I think that's a very good idea, Mr. Taylor. Since there are three of us and one of you, we'll ask you to excuse yourself and we'll caucus and come and get you.
The witnesses, I might as well just send them? Or?
If you're finished with your appeal presentation and they want to leave, I can tell you and direct you now that they're free to go on the basis that you're not intending to offer any more evidence, including any witness evidence, correct?
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right, you may let them go indeed, and I'm going to go off the record.
Okay.